This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
WrestleMania. WWE just concluded its 38th annual WrestleMania event. The show took place over 2 days at a packed AT&T Stadium in Texas. More than 130,000 tickets were sold, and if that is surprising to you, if it's mind-blowing to you, well, in 2015, WrestleMania, yes, a wrestling event, made the list of most valuable sports brands in the world, even topping the UEFA Champions League. But what on earth is WrestleMania, and why is it such a big deal? I'm Dashran Johan, and this is Today I Learned. On the show with me today is BFM's resident pop culture commentator and diehard wrestling fan, Arvind Yuvraj of Popcorn Culture. Welcome to the show, Arvind. What exactly is WrestleMania?
Okay, so that's a complicated question. And you know it's a complicated right. question. It depends on which era of wrestling we are talking about. So I think when WrestleMania started, it was a way to sort of promote wrestling to the wider audience. So it's a celebration of the quote-unquote spot. It's a celebration of the roster. It was a way to get celebrities involved with this product, to get more eyes on WWE, essentially. Somewhere in the middle, WrestleMania became about the wrestling, which is surprising to say about WWE. Like right. in the 90s, the Attitude Era, in the 2000s, wrestling became all about the matches. There were fewer matches on the card, and it was about the superstars themselves. So you had slightly fewer celebrities showing up, slightly less celebration, and a bit less on the extravaganza part. And I think now WrestleMania is all of that combined. It's a monster event. It's a global show, and I think it's a way to sort of validate wrestling to the mainstream audience, and also for fans who don't watch wrestling for the rest of the year, and they just want to pick up on WrestleMania just to have some fun, just to go to an event and say that, hey, I was at WrestleMania. So three different things. I think you can pick whichever definition of wrestling or WrestleMania suits you best.
And you brought up the word mainstream, and I want to pick your brain on how important is WrestleMania into the world of pro wrestling and wrestling fans, right? I mean, it's one thing to have 10,000 wrestling fans, because wrestling is quite niche, especially today. So it's one thing to have, you know, a few thousands or 10,000 even wrestling fans watching a show, but it's a completely different beast altogether when we're talking about 70 to 80,000 wrestling fans packing an NFL stadium. What is the significance of WrestleMania to the world of pro wrestling?
So this might be a bit unpopular opinion, but I think that most people, or most superstars, most athletes get into wrestling because they want a WrestleMania moment.
Right.
I'm not going to say much. I know that we are just off the edge of the recent WrestleMania.
Right.
But there was proof that some people will do anything to be at a WrestleMania to have their WrestleMania moment. it is the pinnacle. So no matter what your opinions are about WWE, what you want to call them, like wrestling, sports entertainment, anything you think about Vince McMahon, I think WrestleMania itself draws everyone to it.
When did you become a wrestling fan? And did WrestleMania, this mega event, inform or influence your love for wrestling?
So when I first started watching wrestling, I didn't know about WrestleMania. I think I started watching towards Armageddon
right.
In 1998 or 1999. So the first thing I saw, the feud was Big Show and Undertaker. And the first big moment I saw, it was one of the first things I saw, was when Big Show chokeslammed Taker through the ring. So the ring broke open, it gave way, and then he went in. And that
right.
was my first, like I was like, oh my God, what is going on? Like how is this a spot? How is this a thing? How are they televising such violence? Like, is the other guy okay? The other guy, Undertaker's the other guy. Is the other guy okay? So that was my first introduction. I didn't know that WrestleMania was a thing that they were building up towards until the next year. I think that was either 99 or 2000. And then when it started to happen every year, I realized that this event structured and influenced everything throughout the year. So you would start to build up through it through Survivor Series, starting with SummerSlam. So SummerSlam, and then it would go to Survivor Series, and then you could slowly see how the machinations of the whole thing through the Royal Rumble. If you watch long enough, you can also predict who's going to win the Royal Rumble, because you can base that off Survivor Series. So for me personally, like, Mania is, as a longtime fan, the most exciting night of the year. Like, mm-hmm. like there's no other way to put it. But it's also why WWE is predictable. And I think I can say that after watching it for so many, 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 many years. Mm-hmm. You know, like watching it for about 20 something, you get to see how there's not much new they can bring, because they still have to work towards a major card in Mania. And because they are so burdened by having that major card, they can't give a lot of people a lot of extra chances. Like, you can't give a different guy a push on the way to WrestleMania, because then you're not going to sell tickets. Mm. So for me, it's conflicted. My relationship with Mania has changed throughout the years. Like, the first 10 years, it's the thing. And then the later 10 years, it's like, why is this card so bloated, man? Like, right. like why are you packing everything into a night? And now it's two nights. So yeah, like, I mean, it's up and down. It's a love-hate, very much love relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where I stand as well, right? WrestleMania has become sometimes, you know, these two nights, and each night is about three to four hours, sometimes a little bit longer. And it's this mega thing. And even as diehard wrestling fans, there is such a thing as just a little bit too much wrestling. But at the same time, you cannot deny that, you know, this, like I said in the introduction, you know, 130,000 tickets were sold for these two-night events. So it has such a hold. While wrestling and WWE, I might say that even WWE has sort of lost its luster, you know, in recent years, in the past 10 years or so, you know, and the ratings, television ratings reflect that. But WrestleMania is still this huge thing. Arvind, talk to me about the genesis of WrestleMania, because this is like the Super Bowl to NFL fans. It is like the World Cup to football fans. It's like the Tomorrowland if you're a fan of EDM and music and things like that, right? But wrestling existed before WrestleMania. How did WrestleMania bring wrestling to the mainstream? What role did WrestleMania play in propelling wrestling forward?
So I think we both know that this is like an interesting question, because like most things in wrestling, you don't know where it comes from. Mm-hmm. Parts unknown. And there's so many different versions of how did WrestleMania begin. Some people say it was purely Vince McMahon. Mm-hmm. He's a master promoter. He's a genius. And he wanted a way to bring wrestling to the mainstream audience, to tell people like, look, you can come and watch this event. You don't have to watch the rest of the year. You don't have to know what is going on. This is an exhibition for all of you, for every single person watching at home. And then there are other people who say that it was the committee around Vince McMahon. Like, it was his team. It was the Pat Pattersons, the Briscoes, the Howard Finkel, I think, was the one who named WrestleMania because he was a fan of Beatlemania. Mm-hmm. So there are those stories as well. Then there are some people who will say that it even originated from Vince McMahon's dad, like his father. Like, he had plans to do something like this, but he didn't have the sports entertainment in him to go this far. So I honestly think that this is Vince McMahon's baby. Mm-hmm. I think it has been something that Vince McMahon has been most proud of. You can see by the way he keeps coming out, the way he talks about it throughout the year. But to pinpoint a single genesis of WrestleMania, why it came about, I think that is a bit tough. It's a process, right? But I think all that said and done, the reason why it exists is because Vince has always wanted everyone to watch wrestling. Mm-hmm. And throughout the year, you get like niche audiences. Some people tune in for the matches. Some people tune in for the superstars. Some people tune in for their favorite performers. But Mania is something where you can watch it for the music, for the celebrities, for the big matches, the small matches, the exhibition. It's carnila, you know, it's a circus.
Right.
You don't have to tune into pro wrestling to be able to sit down with a bunch of friends and enjoy WrestleMania. And I think that was the goal. I think that was the genesis of this like massive, massive event that Vince McMahon came up with.
how significant were the role of, let's say, celebrities? We're talking about the likes of Muhammad Ali. We're even talking about Donald Trump, even Mike Tyson and all of that, right? What role, did they play a big role in sort of propelling wrestling to the mainstream?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that, I would say definitely yes. But I think they also alienated wrestling fans.
Right.
So this is a common thing, right? Mm-hmm. If you are a wrestling fan, if you have invested your time into pro wrestling for months and months and months, years and years and years, and then you see like a Donald Trump show up in a match with Steve Austin, or right. you see a Bad Bunny, or you see any given celebrity show up and just hijack time on the biggest night of the year. As a wrestling fan, you're like, what is this? You know, who are these people? Why are they in my industry? Why are they taking up time from the performers that I've wanted to see? You don't see this at many other spots, mm-hmm. Maybe except the Super Bowl where you have the halftime show, but you don't see Beyonce showing up on the field and playing with the athletes.
Yep.
So this is like, it's unique and I get it, but I think it goes both ways. So definitely for the mainstream, I personally don't think it has any lasting power. I think people just tune in to go like, oh, like, you know, Mike Tyson's doing a thing with the other guy, you know, mm-hmm. what's his name? Steve Austin. You know, Mike Tyson's doing this thing with Shawn Michaels or you know, Muhammad Ali showing up at WrestleMania, and then they just check out. So I don't know how many conversions they have. I don't know if they get eyes like hooked and people like, you know, continue watching because they are so interested, or they just want the ESPN headlines. They want the Bleacher Report headlines. They want, you know, CNN to say, oh, this celebrity showed up, you know, in one of their subsections. If that's the goal, then yeah, sure. You know, it always happens. Like every single year they get coverage. If there's any value to celebrities showing up, I don't know. As a very biased wrestling fan, I will say no, stop it. We don't need it. But at the same time, you cannot deny that Floyd Mayweather showing up to fight Big Show at WrestleMania has media value and has headline value. And at the end of the day, I think that's what they want as a company. Just validation and endorsement from athletes outside the industry. I don't know why. I don't know why wrestling constantly needs validation from other athletes, but it's a thing that's happened for decades and decades. I hate it personally,
yeah.
But it has value.
I'm in agreement with you. I do not like it as a wrestling fan first and foremost, rather than someone looking in from the outside. Do you think, though, that while we may not like it, do you think WrestleMania could have become as big as it is? And I'm talking about selling out 80,000 stadium seats and whatnot without Vince McMahon's grandiose touch in that sense, that let's bring Donald Trump, let's bring Floyd Mayweather, an actual legitimate boxer, and put him in a wrestling match with Big Show. Do you think WrestleMania as an event, as a singular event, could have become as big as it is without this Vince McMahon madness?
No.
Yeah.
I have to admit, no. The guy, I mean, you can say what you want about him, love, but no. If you see the camera panning, so that there's WrestleMania night, and then nowadays we have NXT, and then we've got the Raw after Mania, and you can actually see how the fans filter. So if you watch NXT, not the last couple of years NXT, I mean like the old NXT takeovers, you can see the diehard pro wrestling fans coming in to watch their matches, coming in to watch like five-star performers do what they do best. Mm-hmm. You watch WrestleMania and all of a sudden you can see the whole household is there, you know, fathers, mothers, kids, nephews, nieces, uncles, people who have no idea who is who and cannot recognize, like Ric Flair from Hulk Hogan. Everyone is sitting there watching WrestleMania, cheering, because there's something for everyone. I think that's Vince McMahon's thing, right? He has always said there has to be something for every single person in the audience and every single person watching at home. And then you see the Raw after Mania, and that's where like the WWE fans are. Like you filter out the household and you get the people who actually watch wrestling showing up at the Raw after to just like go crazy and celebrate the night before. So it's like a three-step process, I think. But I think if Vince McMahon wasn't as grandiose, I think if he didn't call the celebrities, if he didn't do all the media jumping through hoops and all the gymnastics that he does, you won't get the households. So you wouldn't be able to sell out 75, 80, 85, 90,000 seats for Mania. I mean, the guy has a two-night event, which is ridiculous. Most of the first night this year were promos for the next night.
Right.
And he still sold tickets. Yeah, like, he still managed to sell it because, like, dads will buy tickets as gifts for their kids, Christmas mm-hmm. gifts, because that's where that's when the tickets open. Moms will buy tickets for their daughters to go see their favorite performers. You know, uncles will buy tickets for their nephews and nieces. It's a crazy, crazy thing. But it's all Vince McMahon, you know. It's how he has sort of propelled this to the mainstream to make it okay for them to buy, including the PG, which again, right. I hate. But there is a method to the guy's madness that you cannot, no matter how you spin it, you cannot deny. It's him.
On the show with me today is Arvind Yuvraj, BFM's resident pop culture commentator and diehard wrestling fan. After the break, I ask him about Hulk Hogan and Stone Cold Steve Austin. We'll be back with more on Today I Learned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Today I Learned. I'm Darshan Johan, and on the show with me today is BFM's resident pop culture commentator and diehard wrestling fan, Arvind Yuvraj of Popcorn Culture and Enterprise. So, Arvind, you mentioned Hulk Hogan, right? And Hulk Hogan main evented 6 WrestleManias, especially in the 80s and the very early 90s. I think there was 4 years where he just main evented consecutively. What role did Hulk Hogan play in wrestling as well as propelling, as well as WrestleMania and making this like this household sort of sporting brand?
So Hulk Hogan is a weird case, right? Mm-hmm. Because you can't, the guy has been through so much mm-hmm. in the decades that he's been active. Like, he's been the most beloved face in pro wrestling, and then he became the most hated face in pro wrestling by kayfabe, mm-hmm. still via kayfabe. And then he became one of the most hated or most controversial celebrities outside of wrestling.
Right.
But even though I, as a wrestling fan, personally hate to admit it, I would love to talk about Macho Man or even Ultimate Warrior to a certain extent, even though he's also been controversial of late, like stuff has come out about him. You can't deny how influential Hulk Hogan was, mainly because I think he understood what the product needed at that time. It was a lesser than PG product. It was a mainstream family-friendly show. And he just went with it. He wore the yellows. He spoke about the vitamins and the prayers and, you know, being a good person, good against evil. He never turned heel, not in WWE, not once, WWF. So I think no matter how you spin it and no matter how much controversy he has, you cannot sort of take away the achievements of Hulk Hogan and what he did for wrestling. And that is like to get enough people watching and to get people to have the sense of this is safe. You know, you can watch wrestling. You can have weirdos show up, you know, the Undertaker can show up and he can be a very scary figure. But don't worry, Hulk Hogan's there to keep your kids safe. You know, Hulk Hogan's there to fight the bad guys. You know, Andre the Giant can show up, but Hulk Hogan's there. And you can't deny that. Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, till today says that Hulk Hogan's on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling. And this is an African American guy, and Hulk Hogan has been quoted as saying racial things towards the black community. Like, he's been outed, like it's on tape. And for The Rock to say something like that still means a lot. So he recognizes how influential Hulk Hogan is. So yeah, I mean, without a doubt, I think if Hulk Hogan wasn't a part of the first few WrestleManias, WrestleManias wouldn't be what it is today. No other way to put it.
And what is it about Hulk Hogan and how does he tie into this brand of WWE's brand of wrestling and what Vince McMahon wanted to achieve with wrestling and with WrestleMania? Like you said earlier, like, you know, he wanted everybody to watch WrestleMania. It doesn't matter if you know anything about wrestling. It doesn't matter whether you understand the art form or anything. It's like everybody come to this party and we'll have a blast. That was Vince McMahon's sort of philosophy. And Hulk Hogan was at the center of it. And people used to buy tickets to WrestleMania just to watch like Hulk Hogan slam Andre the Giant, you know, things like that. And because Hulk Hogan wasn't like this master technician, he's not Chris Jericho, he's not, like you said, Ultimate Warrior, and even he's not even a Macho Man. He wasn't like fantastic in the ring or anything. He just did a few big moves here and there. So what is it about Hulk Hogan that really brought in the mainstream audiences into these big events, like especially WrestleMania?
Well, I think Hulk Hogan is a genius at understanding what the fans want.
Mm.
More than anything else, more than understanding the product, more than understanding his fellow superstars, or even more than understanding Vince McMahon. I think Hulk Hogan knew exactly what the audience needed at any given time. So when he was meant to be the hero, he played the hero. But when he was meant to be the villain, he knew exactly when to be the villain. And that's his genius. You know, he had his finger on the pulse at all times, and he can still control the crowd every time he shows up. And I think that's the biggest thing. So when you put him in a scenario with other celebrities, other people, he knows exactly how to make that work.
Right.
And that's the biggest thing.
Mm. Now, you know, the thing about Hulk Hogan is he eventually left. He left. There was a rival pro wrestling company, a very famous rivalry at the time, WCW and WWE. This is this huge rivalry. Hulk Hogan left to WCW. And this was a tough period for WWE, wasn't it? And what's interesting, Arvind, is that in the documentary, The True Story of WrestleMania, Chris Jericho said, and I quote, "As much as Hogan built WrestleMania, I think that Austin," and he's talking about Stone Cold Steve Austin, "rescued WrestleMania." Do you agree with Chris Jericho?
If he's talking about the Attitude Era, then yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think like everyone saw, all of us saw how that played out. And that was exactly when Hogan went to WCW.
That's right.
So he sort of abandoned WWE, and then he went to WCW to do his thing. But the guy who got WWF out of the slums and sort of rescued it from being a smaller event was Stone Cold Steve Austin. And if you want to talk about people who can sort of rival Hogan's popularity, like, no doubt, that's the number one guy is Stone Cold. The only guy who's like on par with Hulk Hogan who can get that sort of like the cheer, the people to tune in, the and he banked on controversy, which is the opposite of Hulk Hogan. So I think that was, and Jericho's like a wrestling historian, right? He knows like, you know, every single thing about the sport. The guy's mm-hmm. another genius of the industry. So yeah, I've honestly, as a fan, I've never thought about it from that perspective, but Austin and The Rock, to a certain extent, rescued WrestleMania from being hollow because of Hulk Hogan leaving the WWF at that time.
You know, we talked a little bit about celebrity matches and you know, there is this sort of WrestleMania moment that people still talk about it till this day. And it's this Stone Cold Steve Austin getting into the ring with boxing legend Mike Tyson. Do you think that moment pushed wrestling, like, I don't know whether it pushed wrestling to the next level, but do you think it really sort of took WrestleMania one step towards that even bigger blockbuster status?
So the only way I can compare this is to talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe in a way. So if the way this sort of like the studio licensing has happened, there are some characters who we never thought would show up in other movies who have showed up in other movies because of deals and handshake deals and licenses and studio bridging. That's what happened with the Mike Tyson scenario. You know, two industries that people thought would never come together because of boxing and wrestling, especially boxing and wrestling at that time. Mike Tyson was in the sports entertainment age of boxing.
Right.
He was an entertainer. He knew how to play the crowd. He knew how to get people on his side. He's a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
And to get him to enter a wrestling ring with Stone Cold, of all people, like his sort of counterpart in the wrestling industry, was something that no one thought would like ever happen. Like, why would this even be a thing? But it did. And the best part about that is that Austin himself said that Mike Tyson might not be able to handle the situation, might not be able to handle Mania itself because he doesn't understand the crowd. But Mike Tyson did. And I think that's his, to his credit, he understood exactly how to move, how to reveal, how to tear that shirt open and show that he was on Austin's side. You know, he knew how to be in tune with the crowd and do the theatrics and to perform instead of just being an athlete. And all of that put together, I think, worked. Because if you just got like a boxer and they didn't know about timing and they didn't know about cameras and they didn't know about, you know, the crowd swelling up to that pinnacle moment, it would have fallen flat. But all of that was so perfect. And I think the legs that the news and the media had after that, saying that Mike Tyson's here, Mike Tyson's having a run. It's not just a one-night thing. He's got like an actual storyline with DX and Austin and the other people in the WWF. That had a lot of value. So it wasn't just like a stunt or something that they did for an exhibition. It wasn't a thought-out storyline that you couldn't just buy WrestleMania to watch. You had to invest before Mania, and you had to invest after Mania. And I think because of that very unique setup, it really made WrestleMania that sort of event MCU film, going back to that comparison. Like, you have to watch this. Otherwise, you'd miss seeing someone who you never thought could show up in a wrestling ring.
Do you think these matches or these moments adds legitimacy to wrestling in any sort of way? And I'm saying this because... especially, you know, like when we're talking about, you know, people, there are a lot of, let's say, people who don't understand wrestling, or people who are, you know, boxing fans, or they can be UFC fans, or, you know, mixed martial arts fans and whatnot. They'll be like, okay, this, I don't know about this, you know, I don't understand. Why would you watch something like this instead of, you know, watching like an actual fight, like a real fight, like boxing and stuff? Do you think that having these sorts of matches adds legitimacy to the likes of to WWE and pro wrestling as a whole? Or do you think it takes away? Do you think people watch it and go like, okay, this is why I don't watch wrestling?
I don't think it's going to change anyone's opinions. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, have you seen that the interview with Triple H where they asked him about legitimizing WWE and what the opinions of people are? And he said something very nice, paraphrasing, but mm-hmm. he said, wrestling is something that you get. You either get it or you don't. And if you don't get it, no one's going to change your mind. It's right. just that you have to tune in at the right moment and watch the right thing. And you will suddenly go like, oh, like this is what it is. You know, I finally get how this works. Or it'll just be something that you don't understand. And I think that's the best way to put it, because they are going to be like mixed martial arts guys, UFC guys who say, you know, this is a fake sport. They're going to be people who like other sports who say, you know, wrestling's just make-believe and it's for kids. I don't think you can convert them by putting one of their stars in the ring. They're probably going to tune in, if they're diehard fans, just to see what's up or what's happening. Is this UFC guy going to take down the wrestling guy? And more often than not, that's what happens, which, you know, shouldn't be the case, but that's what happens. And then they're just going to tune out. I don't think it converts anyone. You either get it or you don't.
I think we cannot talk about WrestleMania without talking about what I believe, or who I believe, is one of your favorite wrestlers, and that is The Undertaker. Year after year, there was this thing called the Undertaker's WrestleMania streak, because year after year, someone would challenge Undertaker to a match at WrestleMania, and year after year, they would lose. And this became like a thing, like an attraction in and of itself. Talk to me about this Undertaker's WrestleMania streak, why it became such and why it became such an important part of WrestleMania's legacy and even the marketing of it.
I don't know how to put this. So I don't think WWE or the creative or Vince had any idea for right. this streak. Mm-hmm. I think it's just something that coincidentally happened, because Taker is overpowered. Mm-hmm. And every time he's in a match, it's just more often than not, he's going to win yep. because he was that guy, right? I think when he went to his big evil phase, when he was not the Dark Taker anymore, they needed something to push people to watch him at Mania. And then they found out like, hey, this guy's won like 9 times. He's won like 10 times. Now he's going to win 11. So they just needed like some gimmick to push the match forward. And then it became a thing. So saying that WWE made it a streak from the beginning, I don't think Vince has that sort of mm-hmm. foresight. I don't think WWE or F had that kind of foresight. But I think that the last maybe 6-7 years of the streak made WrestleMania what it was. That it was probably the most important thing of the night. It was bigger than any championship match. And we'd have like maybe 2 different main championships if it wasn't the Undisputed Championship. So that was the actual main event. You could have a smaller championship match. You could take chances with the smaller guys, because you know that people would tune in for Taker's match. You know, they would see if he's going to finally lose, if this guy was going to finally get it. And it also produced some of the biggest, most memorable matches in Mania history. Shawn Michaels Taker at WrestleMania 25, probably my personal best wrestling match of all time, bar none, like miles ahead. Taker versus Triple H, Hell in the Cell, WrestleMania 28, with Shawn Michaels as the special referee, one of the best moments in wrestling. When Taker came back to fight Triple H at 27, also amazing, amazing match. So it also not just produced like this thing, like this mythos around Taker, but it gave us these amazing, intense matches that I think got people saying, look, Mania is not just this showcase. It has like such good performances from these veterans, from these guys who've been there for 15, 20 years. And it all revolved around Taker either winning or finally losing.
How would you respond to people who say, you know, why would 70,000 people watch individuals fake fight? Because I'm sure you have heard it from acquaintances and things like that, where, you know, you talk to them about wrestling, or even if you bring up WrestleMania and say, hey, you want to check it out, and then they look at the size of the crowd and their weight. There are 70,000 people who have bought tickets, and the tickets are not even cheap to begin with, you know, to watch fake fight. How do you respond to people who say these things?
I mean, the first thing I would say is scripted, not fake. There's nothing about the industry that's fake. The falls are real. The injuries are real. You can't fake fall. Like, you know, it's not CGI. Yep. So it's everything's happening in front of you live. Everything's real. It's just that it's scripted. So it's predetermined. Behind the scenes, they know who's going to come out, the winner, the champion, whatever it is. So that's number one. The other thing is I wouldn't try to change their opinions, but I would compare it to, let's say, a concert. You know, why do you go to a concert? Why do like 80,000 people go watch, I don't know, Lady Gaga? Or why do Justin Bieber's tickets sell out the moment they announce it here? Like, he's coming in October. When you can watch him on, you can listen to him on Spotify, you know, and you'd have maybe a better experience because you don't have to like smoosh with other people and sweat and, you know, crowd and all those things. So I don't know. It's one of those things that you can't explain. I think people just want to, it's a communal experience. You want to be there with the crowd. You want to be there with people who love the sport. You want to just, it's a fun thing. You know, it's why anybody spends money on things that don't make sense. Like concerts, like music events, like festivals, like packing a cinema on the first day of a release, because you want to, for again, the MCU movie, because you want to cheer with other people who are like you, right? So I think people draw people. And the WWE has made Mania into an event that you don't want to miss, especially if you're around the area. If it's coming to your town, then you want to watch it. But also, if there's one night that you can guarantee you get your money back or your money's worth, your ROI, then it's Mania. So you can buy plane tickets, you can fly there, you can make road trips. You're going to get what you paid for more often than not. So yeah, I think that would be my explanation. Why do 70,000 people buy? It's a night off. It's just another way to have fun. Same thing as everything else.
I think that's really well put. Before we wrap this conversation up, Arvind, do you have any final thoughts on WrestleMania, its importance, and just do you think this thing is just going to continue going on? It's been 38 years. You know, Vince McMahon is a very, very old man now, but he doesn't seem to be slowing down. How long do you think WrestleMania is going to keep going on for?
So, I think that this is just like complete, like, you know, fantasy or theory. But I'm pretty sure there's a clause in Vince McMahon's will saying that WrestleMania can never stop. That no one who owns the company, buys the company, takes over the company, Triple H, Stephanie, whoever it is, can do anything to WrestleMania. Like, it remains. Even after we reach like Armageddon or dystopia, not the PPV Armageddon, but like an actual Armageddon, that WrestleMania will still continue. So that's one. So I don't think Mania is ever going to stop. But also, I think that it's always going to be this thing that validates pro wrestlers and sports entertainers. Going back to one of your earlier questions, you know, what does it mean to the wrestling world, right? I think it just validates people. No matter which company you're in, whether you're in AEW, whether you're in ROH, whether you're in Impact or Japan, New Japan, being at WrestleMania means something for your personal bucket list. They can spin it however they want. They can say, I don't want to be there. I don't need my moment. CM Punk can call it like a buy one, free one extravaganza. but WrestleMania moments are WrestleMania moments. And there's a reason why Austin said he's going to show up at the KO show, you know, even after all these years, he said that, okay, I'm going to show up because it's WrestleMania. So as long as it's that, I think it's going to continue. And I think it's going to get bigger. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a three-night thing after this, if they can stretch it out. But no, I don't think Mania is going to end. at least I give it 50 years. And I hope it goes on for 50 years.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love the thing.
Yeah, same here. Like I've sort of lost interest in WWE specifically over the years. I consider myself an AEW fan, just like you. But yeah, I mean, WrestleMania is WrestleMania. I'll always have a special place in my heart. So I hope that, you know, even when the world collapses and everything goes up, you know, hits the fan and all, like, no,
they had it during a pandemic. Let's just put it that way.
Exactly.
WrestleMania survived the pandemic, so
it can survive anything. On that note, thank you so much for joining me today, Arvind.
Thank you, Dash.
That was Arvind Yuvraj. He's BFM's resident pop culture commentator and diehard wrestling fan. You can listen to him on Popcorn Culture as well as the Enterprise Belt. If you missed any part of our conversation, you can check us out on podcast. We are available on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcast from. I'm Darshan Johan, and this has been Today I Learned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.